We talk a lot on this podcast about chess improvement, but when it comes to improving your hiring processes, Indeed is the platform you need. Indeed has over 350 million global monthly visitors, and it has a matching engine that helps you find quality work candidates fast. You can use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with your candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Years ago, when I was running a chess teaching business, I found it hard to find good help, and I had to go through a lot of back and forth to even screen potential candidates. Indeed allows you to do those things efficiently in one place. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed for hiring, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of Perpetual Chess will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility if you go to Indeed.com/chess. Just go to Indeed.com/chess right now, and you'll be supporting our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast, Indeed.com/chess. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, it is Ben. Just dropping you guys a quick note before we get to this week's interview with Tarje. I just wanted to apologize for the audio quality of the interview with GM Lev Albert. For whatever reason, the recording equipment did funky stuff and it sounded worse than usual. I apologize. The good news is we did post an improved version later in the week. Listener to and supporter of the podcast, Tyron Ross, volunteered to help clean it up and make it sound better, and he did just that. So thank you, Tyron. And just know that if you tried to listen on Tuesday and turned it off, you can re-download it and listen again, and it does sound a bit better. We still have colds and accents, but I mean, come on, it's Lev Albert. You got to hear what he has to say. The other thing is that next week's episode might be late. It might not come out Tuesday. It might be Wednesday or Thursday, but it should be coming. So other than that, all is well with me. I hope you guys are doing well too. Enjoy this interview. Hello, everyone. I'm Ben Johnson, and this is the Perpetual Chess Podcast. On Perpetual Chess, I have weekly conversations with the chess world's best players, promoters, and educators about their lives, careers, current projects, and best practices. Perpetual Chess is brought to you through the generosity of its Patreon and PayPal supporters. For more information, go to perpetualchesspod.com. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Perpetual Chess. We've got another great guest this week. He is kind of the king of chess media. He had just crossed over 10,000 followers on Twitter, so anyone who's on Twitter knows him well, and you've probably come across his work on his website, Matt and Pat, or his pictures on other chess websites. Chess player as well, of course. And just back from some traveling, so thank you for joining us, Tarje Svensson.
Thanks, Ben. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You're such a pillar of the chess community, traveling all over the world. And just yesterday, you managed to break some news. So we're recording this on Wednesday, and it's not coming out until the following Tuesday. But I think this will still be fairly topical. So this is kind of a typical day for you. But you tweeted that sources tell you that the FIDE Rapid and Blitz World Championship doesn't look like it's going to happen. And you also tweeted that the Norwegian television station NRK has picked up the World Championship through 2027. So it seems like you have some good sources, Tarje.
Yeah, well, there are things that I have the advantage of living in Norway, where the media, the mainstream media, actually do quite a lot of chess journalism, or actually just journalism on things that are related to Magnus Carlsen. So I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily have my own sources, but much of it I basically just share from Norwegian media.
Yeah, and since Norwegian isn't a very broadly spoken language, you're also able to provide services like translating that little interview
exactly.
that came out with Magnus yesterday.
And I think much of the articles that is being shared by me, they wouldn't be picked up by the international chess community if I hadn't shared them. So that's something I like. I like to contribute the best I can.
Yeah, one of the many great services you provide. You also travel far and wide. We had a chance to meet a few months ago in person at the charity chess event, the fun event in New York that we both attended. And you told me that I had thought, like, I knew about your website, Matt and Pat, which we'll talk about and which a lot of listeners, I think, will have come across. But I didn't know exactly, like, how your business works or what your working life is like. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, like, how you balance that with chess reporting?
Well, the most common question I get when I travel around and meet people and they know about my website is how do you make money? I guess it's quite a big issue in the chess world because it isn't that easy to make money from just writing about chess. But I have a normal job and it's quite flexible. I work as a front editor. I'm working for a big news site. We are a bit unique in the Norwegian media. We aggregate news. We don't write our own news, but we publish the news on our own front page and direct traffic to other sources from all over Norway, like local newspapers, national newspapers, all kinds of news, like entertainment news, and just any kind of news, basically. So that's what I do, and my working schedule is quite flexible. I have shifts. Sometimes I work in evenings, and sometimes I have off. So I'm able to combine that with traveling around and writing about chess.
Yes, which often you just do basically. You know, in order to provide a service to the community, not related to your work, correct?
Yes, exactly. And that's also one way that I am so updated because my job is to follow the news all the time, basically.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking when you said that you work for a news aggregator, that's sort of what you described doing in the chess world.
Yeah. So I whenever something is written in Norwegian media about Magnus Carlsen or anything else, I'm usually picking up pretty quickly if I haven't written it myself.
Yeah.
So that's an advantage, and that's one reason why I want to contribute and get it out instead of, yeah, otherwise it wouldn't be picked up at all, I think.
Right, And as I told you when we met, I mean, my jaw kind of hit the floor when I found out that you don't get paid for your chess work because you work so hard. You take it so seriously. I mean, you know, obviously we see your coverage at a lot of events, but I'll also just see you with your camera in the background on like a chess.com picture or something like that. Like you manage to go to a lot of events. You take it very seriously. You're well connected. So I just want to thank you. I mean, it's so generous of you to do that with your time.
Yeah, I do have some income from chess jobs, so to say. Sometimes I write articles. Sometimes I work for various newspapers when they hire me for events. Like I was hired by the biggest commercial channel TV2 during Norway Chess Tournament. And I've been hired during the World Championship match. I was hired by one of the largest newspapers in Norway, Dagbladet. So when I get such jobs, then I try to bring that back into chess Sometimes I hire Jonathan Tisdall to write some articles in English. He's very popular articles, actually.
Yeah, those articles are fantastic. And this, since you brought him up, we have a few good questions from supporters of the podcast. But I might as well drop this one in right now since you brought up Grandmaster Tisdall's name. A question from Greg Smith, who says, "Hello, Tarjay. Will Jonathan Tisdall be writing about the World Championship match for Matt and Pat? A few weeks ago, I saw some exchanges on Twitter that made it seem that he wouldn't. His articles are excellent."
Yeah, well, I would love to have Jonathan write for Matt and Pat. He's such an awesome chess writer, and the articles that he writes are the ones that are most read on my site. And during the New York match, Carlsen Karjakin, his final report is still the most read article I've ever had. So I would really love, but the question is, Jonathan, he deserves to be paid.
Yes, for sure.
So the question is always money, but I think there is a chance that he will write something. I don't know if there's anything official yet. I don't know if anything I can say, but I'm pretty sure that we will see, if not every round, that we will see some reports by him.
Okay.
If it's not by me, it will be on some other platform.
Okay, sure. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. And I mean, just generally, something I wanted to talk about, because obviously I have a Patreon page that enables me to keep this podcast going, and that's sort of I would say the way the wind's blowing with independent media. So that's a possibility both for you long term, but also something like this, like a sort of one-off thing where, you know, chess fans just love his coverage. Maybe you could also consider a Kickstarter campaign. I know that
actually, we have been talking about it that for quite some time, and that's definitely something that should be set up. He's a freelancer, so he needs such kind of things to do. Now, I think there's a chance that he will write more because he was just hired as the co-editor of the Norwegian Chess Magazine.
Oh, awesome!
So, I didn't talk to him, but. I think there's a chance that we will even see him in London on the scene, if not during all the tournament, at least parts of it.
Excellent. And for listeners looking for, you know, you guys with your insatiable appetite for chess books, anyone who hasn't read Jonathan Tisdall's old school classic, Improve Your Chess Now, I recommend you check that out. I know that I've seen some people asking him on Twitter, when you're writing another chess book, when you're writing another chess book. For those who don't know that book, check it out, especially, I would say, 1800 to 2300-ish rating range, something like that. But getting back to London, are you going to make the trip this year?
Well, it's such a short trip this time, so I have to be there. Obviously.
Excellent. Yeah.
The question is how long I will be there. I'm not sure yet. I've been the last three matches. I've been staying for 2 weeks. Like I've skipped the first week and then I've been staying for the last 2 weeks, so I've got to see most of the games, got to follow most of the games from the scene. But this time I'm not so sure. But in worst case, it will be only the last week, so I get to see the last 3-4 games or something. It all depends whether I will be hired by someone else, whether I will get some support.
Okay. Well, if anyone is listening who's in a position to hire him, we put in a good word. We need to have your boots on the ground there.
Yeah.
It would be great. And it must be interesting for you to be there because, I mean, chess fans all over the world follow these events, but it's really a small contingent of people that are like on the circuit, as you would say. So it must be an interesting perspective traveling the world and then seeing sort of the same 30 people in so many places.
Yeah, well, it isn't even 30 people. Like sometimes when I go to tournaments, it's only like when you go to a press room, it's me and Peter Doggers from Chester.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So it's incredible how small the chess world actually is.
Yeah, it is amazing. I know that, yeah, Mike Klein takes the sort of U.S. trips and Peter Doggers does Europe. So, yeah, and he's another one that, like, if he's not the one taking the picture or if it's not someone else from chess.com, then you might see him in the picture.
But I still felt that it's something special to just be there and see all the guys. And that's one reason why I felt it was so nice to travel around and just try to attend the tournaments and get a close look on the big guys.
Yeah, and of course because it is such a small contingent, you've tweeted pictures of you playing these crazy board games that these super GMs play, and you know, grabbing drinks and stuff like that. So do you get a chance to sort of fraternize with the chess players you're covering much?
Yeah, some of them are I'm on good terms with. The others are there are people who are like, some of the top guys are very friendly and hang around with journalists and so on. And that happens sometimes.
Sounds like you're being diplomatic in some respects.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there are some people who during tournaments are very focused on the tournament itself, and they don't go out. They mostly spend their time on the rooms, and that's understandable. After all, they are professionals, and others likes to be social, and that's nice for us journalists and fans.
Yeah, because it's a little less intense for the journalists, like
exactly
to unwind at the end of the night when you don't have to prepare to play like Levon Aronian or Magnus Carlsen the next day.
Exactly.
And speaking of whom, Magnus, of course, from the same country as you, so you guys go way back. In fact, in my intrepid research for this, I accidentally uncovered a chess game from 2001, the famous Svensson Carlsen game.
That's right.
So
actually, I have two games against Magnus.
Same time frame?
I have two classical games against him. The first one I played against him was in the Norwegian in the Norwegian Junior Championship under 20.
That's the one I found. Yeah, 2001.
Yeah, but I have two. But I will tell you about the first one. That one I lost horribly. He was 10, and he was a huge talent back then. Of course, he wasn't like. He was, the biggest talent we've had, but he wasn't like, I don't think we thought like world champion at that time. But anyway, he crushed me, but I played him, now I have to look this up. I think it was 2005 I played him again, and I had a winning position.
Oh, wow.
I was in the Gaustal Biggin tournaments, and he made one of his best performances there. But I played him, I think it was in the second round, and I had got a really, really good position. He was around 25-80, I think. So it was like I could get an exchange. But basically, if I had made the best moves, I was obviously in time trouble. If I made the best moves, I would have a completely winning position.
That's impressive. I mean,
yeah. I remember I could see him shaking. I could see him that he was nervous and he wasn't satisfied with the game. But then it happened what usually happened in these cases, that I got nervous, I got low on time, and I eventually lost.
And I guess at this point, with him being 25-80 and 13 or 14, you guys knew he was on a pretty strong trajectory.
Yeah, exactly. And he finished that tournament, I think he had like eight and a half out of nine, and he made a really good performance at that time. But it's a nice memory, of course.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of which, we have a funny story from a friend and supporter of the podcast, Brian Caron, who wrote in but didn't share a question, but just a story. So he says, This isn't so much a question, but a story your listeners might enjoy. Way back before either player was well-known, Tarjei and I had a debate in the ICC administrative channel. That's the Internet Chess Club, for those who don't know. I said, there's a kid in my club who's going to be world champion. Tarjei said, there's a kid in my club who will be world champion. We both debated each other for a while regarding whose kid was better. Over a decade or so later, I asked Tarjei if he remembered this debate. He had. My kid was Hikaru Nakamura. His was Magnus Carlsen.
Actually, I know Brian. I used to be on ICC a lot back in the days.
Didn't we all?
yeah. Absolutely. But I obviously when Magnus played a lot on ICC when he was kid, from when he was like 9, 10 years old. That's one of he said that this really helped him improve. And so he was quite active. So obviously, me being an administrator, I talked about this amazing kid from Norway. And I guess they thought, sure,
right.
World champion. Yeah, I don't think they believed me, but at some point, I guess they realized, this kid is actually special.
Yeah, it's funny, and I didn't have the same exposure level to Hikaru Nakamura that Brian did because I was from Philadelphia, which is about 2 hours away from New York, but when I had their stepdad's Sunil Wiramantri, I talked about this a little bit, but I would see Hikaru and his older brother, Asuka, who was also a prodigy of sorts around, and I knew that he was a special player, but that was back in the day in the U.S. where you would never say an American player is going to be world champion. Because we hadn't ascended, with Fischer, of course, being the proverbial black swan that had done that. But generally, you're not going to assume that an American player would be a world champion contender. And actually, I guess for Norway, it was the same thing. I mean, you're in Europe, which is sort of the epicenter of the chess universe, but still, like, you're off to the side.
Exactly.
No more. Not off to the side anymore.
No. It's been incredibly changed. Much of it is obviously thanks to Magnus that helped the chess boom here in Norway.
Yeah, and back in the day when I had Jon Ludvig Hammer on, he gave a little perspective on what the coverage is like. Would you say that, so that was probably close, more than a year ago, would you say that anything has changed with the ongoing chess boom in Norway?
Chess certainly gets a lot of coverage during Magnus events. It tends to be maybe exaggerated at times, but during the World Championship, it's a totally different world compared to like the main classical tournaments. During the World Championship, it's really huge because then it's shown on NRK, the state broadcaster, which is by far the biggest channel. So then basically everyone are following his games, but it doesn't necessarily lead to more members coming to chess clubs.
Interesting.
A lot more people are playing chess and so on, but I think it has helped the online chess clubs more than it has helped the Norwegian Chess Federation.
Huh, that's interesting, because I know that, I mean, this podcast is sort of small beans in comparison, but I get a disproportionate number of listeners from Norway, at least in relation to the population. So
yeah,
I know that there's a few more chess aficionados there. So shout out to anyone in Norway listening, which because of your presence, there'll probably be a few more of. So who's announcing for NRK this year? Do you know?
You mean the host?
Yeah, like when they broadcast the World Championships this year. Are there any familiar chess names covering it?
No, they actually have the same. They have the same. They have one chess commentator who has been the main commentator. His name is Torstein Bae. He's an international master. He's the main commentator for the channel. And then they have the host, who has also been the same. And then they have one chess personality and one celebrity.
Okay.
So they have a pretty standard setup for every every game, so to say. So that's probably one reason why it's been successful, that they have this mix of various kinds of people in the show.
And would you say that they do a good job with it? Like, do you both, I mean, like, hardcore chess fans always have quibbles with stuff that's presented to the mainstream. So how do you think they do presenting it?
Well, hardcore chess fans are probably not a big fan of those,
okay,
those shows. But they are also not going to show that, that the shows are not intended for the hardcore chess fans.
Right. So how do they approach complicated positions? Like, how do they...
Well, you can't go into analysis. You can't go into deep analysis, because an average viewer won't be able to understand what's going on. So that's why that's actually one reason why they have been so successful, why so many people are watching it. It's because it's likely for that reason that they're not going so much into details that you would see on Chess24, when you have these incredible complicated variations that 99% of viewers won't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's really important for them. There is so much focus on the fact that you have to be able to explain. You have to stay on something that is possible to understand for the average viewer.
So how do they fill the time in these classical games? Because if you're not talking about variations, I mean, the games are so slow. So what do they talk about?
Well, they have celebrities. They have one celebrity who has all kinds of chess stories. They have a chess personality who tells stories. They have a reporter on scene who does interviews. So he can walk around and do interviews. So they are very good at filling the time. For a game that lasts 7 hours, you can imagine it's really hard. But they are really good at it. They do all kinds of things, and there are so many people working on this.
Wow, I wish that I could see like an English language version of it.
Yeah, like during the Nakamura Carlsen match in February, they had actually 40 people working on this match.
That's incredible.
Which is huge for such a small match, actually.
And do you have a sense of like how many people watch it as compared to a big football match or something like that?
You probably can't compare it directly to that. It's football is after all bigger, but during the critical games, it's really big. And I think I don't remember the exact number now, but I think it was up to 1 million. Man. Up to 1 million Norwegians that are followed at least a couple of minutes, like some parts of the match.
And what's the rough population of Norway?
Like 5 million.
Wow, that's just mind-boggling. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It'll be so they must be. It must be pretty eagerly anticipated right now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be huge. And I like I said, one of the reasons why chess has been so successful in the last few years is because NRK have covered it so great, especially the World Championship matches. They are doing a really good job, and it's great to see as a chess fan.
Yeah, it's exciting. And of course, as we record this, the other topic, so I've been talking about the World Championship, obviously, almost every week in anticipation, but we've also got the Olympiad coming right up. Are you going to manage to sneak to Georgia at all, or are you going to sit that one out?
I really wish that I could attend an Olympiad again, but I have pretty used up my travel quota for the year. Well, I have London left. And that's what I have to focus on, but I will definitely be following it as close as I can.
Yeah, and I guess rooting for Norway, despite the fact that they're not bringing Magnus or Jon Ludvig Hammer this year.
Yeah, it's not as strong as it could have been, but it's still a pretty decent team. So we'll see how well they will do this time.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of juniors making a lot of noise in the chess world.
Yeah, they are really up and coming. just last month we had got another grandmaster who also almost scored a silver medal at the World Junior Championship now, Johann Sebastian Christiansen, which was very impressive. And they are basically a result of Carlsen's success, and there were a lot of strong juniors that came became strong or really started studying and improving during his rise to number one in the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we have another question from a supporter of the podcast. This one is from Jason Woolham, who said, yep. Recently from following you on Twitter, you were giving a lot of analytics for the upcoming World Championship match between Carlsen and Caruana. As an analytics junkie, I wanted to know if there was a place we could go to find these kinds of stats.
That's a great question, actually, because one thing that has been lacking is all these statistics. You could actually get a lot of information from ChessBase, which is what I'm using. But there is not one particular site with statistics. You would have to dig it up.
Okay, which is what you did.
Yeah. So that is something that is missing. Definitely missing. It would be very nice to have.
Yeah, some sort of big database. But for listeners who didn't see it or just want a refresher, I'll actually share a couple of them from your thread. So classical score between Carlsen and Caruana. Carlsen is plus 10 equal 18 minus 5. So he won 5 more games than he lost. I'll skip the blitz and rapid, although that may come into play. We'll see. You've got their performance ratings from 2017 to 18, which was Carlsen at 28-24 and Caruana at 27-98. And then in 2018 alone, Carlsen's performance rating 28-42, Caruana 28-19. So something like that I felt like gave me really good perspective, because I feel like Caruana is so ascendant and, you know, at the peak of his game. And, you know, we've had guest after guest basically saying, don't discount him. You know, he's playing as well as anyone, but statistically it's, you know, still 20 point difference, which at that level is a lot.
Yeah, it is clear from the statistic that Carlsen overall have had a slightly higher performance, but to be fair to Caruana, he had one really poor performance in January, which kind of ruins his performance, overall performance. So if we could exclude the first tournament of the year, if we could start in February, then Caruana would actually be on top of the list.
Yeah, well, as the saying goes, if you torture the data enough, you can get it to confess to anything.
Exactly. but my point is just that Caruana has had an incredible year. He's probably, I would say, he has been the best player of the year overall. He has won, is it 5 tournaments now that he has won?
Don't put me on the spot like that, Tarjei.
Well,
unacceptable.
Carlsen has won 3 tournaments and Caruana has won 4.
Okay.
Including the one that they shared in the Singful Cup.
Okay. But in any event, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what makes the match so exciting, that you have this clash between number 1 and number 2 in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to handicap. I mean, that's why we find it so compelling to talk about, and it's coming up soon. So let's talk a bit about your own chess game, Tarjei. So we talked briefly about your brushes playing Magnus Carlsen, and I know I've seen on Twitter that you do make the occasional getaway to play in like a big open tournament. So what's going on with your game? You're rated around 2,100 feet. Do you have any ambitions right now? Do you get to study at all?
Well, that's the thing. When you travel as much as me to follow events, then you don't get to play as much yourself.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that I play more tournaments. I last played in Barcelona last year. I played the Open tournament, which I like. I played it 3 times. I kind of like when I play tournaments, I like to play somewhere where I can combine it with a holiday that I can combine it with having a good time and during the summer. But sometimes I have other priorities, like traveling to Brazil that I did now. So I really try to play. I play some club events. I play some blitz during. There are places in Oslo where I can play blitz, and I play for my local club. But the big tournaments, like the open tournaments, unfortunately, time is limited, which is not only a problem for me, but for many other chess fans.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you're providing such a service to the chess community with the reporting you did. So it might be good for your chess game if you'd stop doing that and focused on it, but it'd be bad for the rest of us. So
I will definitely try to play some tournament again, but it's hard to know in advance. I just have to see what happens.
So did you sneak any chess in your trip to Brazil?
No, it was just relaxing, actually. I didn't get to. I know they have a chess club there, but what I heard is that they actually had to close because there was no money left.
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So where did you go in Brazil?
I went to the fifth largest city, which is Recife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have one grandmaster who is from that area. I'm not sure if he's from Recife, but they only have a small chess club. But it was a beautiful city, and for a Norwegian, it's great to travel to such a nice country as Brazil. I've never been there before, and it was warm, beautiful, nice beaches, but perfect.
Excellent. Yeah, and I'm guessing with your chess travels, you make it to Europe a lot, like various parts of Europe, but not so much to other parts of the world.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, it's my first time in Brazil and Europe. Yeah, all the time. There are so many events there, and we are very fortunate here. I went to India for in 2013 match, but besides that, I haven't traveled that much outside Europe, but in these days it's quite easy to travel around.
It's a good opportunity. It's a good time to be able to get from place to place fairly cost efficiently.
Right.
But let's talk chess improvement. So I think that you know, despite you're being you know, more on the level of me than a grandmaster, I think we have a lot of listeners who would like to attain the level of 2100. And plus, just generally, you know so much about the chess world that I'm sure people would like to hear your favorite media resources or your favorite chess books or any tips or advice you have for listeners.
Well, I definitely follow news a lot. My big passion is it's chess journalism in general, which there isn't that much. There isn't that much of chess journalism in the chess world. So I follow chess.com. I like what Peter Doggish is doing, and Mike Klein, of course. They are like the site itself focusing on chess journalism. That's very good. That's what I really like.
Nice. And what about like formative chess books? What were your favorites as a when you were more actively competing in chess?
Yeah, I have a lot of chess books. Unfortunately, I don't get to read them that much as right. I should have. But one of my favorites when I really tried to improve and worked a bit was Understanding Chess Move by Move.
Is that John Nunn or is that?
Yeah, the John Nunn book.
Yeah, a few people have mentioned his Move by Move series.
I really like that because that was a quite unique book at that time, and I thought that it was so nice how he explained everything, like every move. that was a move that I liked a bit.
Yeah, he's an incredible author.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
And also, I like the puzzle books. There's so many, like, just in general, to go through all these puzzles, to read on while traveling or something. It's like there is this, it's a Russian book called Combinative Motives by
The legendary book.
Yeah, that's also one of my favorites. I think I've gone through that several times. It's a great book because puzzles really, it's something that every chess fan should do to solve puzzles.
I lost my copy of that book somewhere along the way. And that book, that came before the sort of, tidal wave of chess tactics materials, before there were online training, and even before there were so many good tactics books like Perfect Your Chess and John Nunn's Puzzle Book, which is another good one. But Mikhail Bloch's, that's sort of like, that's the classic.
I actually lost that book myself.
Funny.
I lost it myself, so I had to buy it again.
Is it still in print, do you know? I mean, I'm sure it can be tracked down, but...
I think I bought it on Amazon.
Yeah, okay. I'll take a look and see if it's still up there.
Yeah, there is a new edition, actually. And one of the first pages has a picture of a very young Alexander Grishuk on it.
Oh, really? That's funny.
It's the author of the book, Block, with, I think... Grishuk is like 10 or 11 years old.
That's incredible. All right, Tarjei, I warned you this might happen. My son Henry is ready to make his perpetual chess debut. Henry, can you say hi?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi,
he said hi. He said hi back. He can't hear, but and Henry, how do you get better at chess? How does someone get better at chess? Or did you want to say something else? Okay, he wants to say something else. Come here, Henry.
Have you ever seen my best friend Wolfo's podcast?
He's talking. All right, he's talking about his stuffed dog Woof Woof. He's changing the topic. Yeah, because I have a podcast. His stuffed dog also has a podcast. So Henry, you have no chess improvement advice? Okay, no chess improvement advice. All right, so thank you, Henry, for that cameo. we'll bring it back to chess. Do you keep up with, I saw that, I think it was during the Olympiads, but it was during some big event that the chess bras were covering, you made a donation to them. So I guess you managed to consume some chess broadcasting in your limited downtime as well, Tarjei.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, they do a great job, and I know that they're gearing up for the Olympiad as well, although some of them will be playing. Not all of the announcing teams for the various media outlets have been announced yet, but that one's coming up very shortly, so I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be exciting, and I like what the chess bras are doing. They actually created their own channel, and it's really successful, and it's great what they're doing. I really like it, which is why I also supported it.
Yeah, it's great for chess and entertaining to boot, and you can even learn a thing or two while you're at it.
Exactly.
So you've got the World Championship coming up. Is that the extent of your chess travels the rest of this year, Tarjei?
Yeah, I sometimes think that, okay, this is going to be my last travel, but then I end up going to another travel anyway.
Yeah.
So there aren't that many possible tournaments left, but I won't miss the match, of course.
Excellent. Well, Tarjei, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, it's an incredible service, and I know that you don't get compensated for everything that you do. So if you ever reach a point where you feel that it's, I mean, I think it's certainly justified already, but if you feel that it's necessary, anything I can do to help, let me know. You provide such a great service.
I appreciate that, Ben, and I'll see. I make a decent living from my main job, which is why I'm able to do what I do and travel around so much. Otherwise, it definitely wouldn't be possible. But it would still at least be good to be compensated for the expenses, because it is expensive to travel around in even in Europe. So I'm doing fine at this moment, but we'll see what happens in the future.
Okay. And Tarjei, is there anything else we should discuss before I let you go?
No, I think you covered most of it.
Okay. Excellent. And I think anyone who's on Twitter knows where to find you. Do you have like an email address you could share if anyone wants to reach you, or if you'd prefer not to, that's fine too. Anywhere else you should be reached?
Well, I think the best way to reach me is on Twitter, actually. I do spend a lot of time on Twitter. I love it. And for chess, it's really good during the big events because there is so much going on, and it has really helped the chess community, the Twitter sphere, actually.
Yeah, it's my favorite as well. I have a Facebook group, but generally my Facebook account is like pictures of my kids, and Twitter is where I like to talk chess.
Yeah, Twitter is really good for chess, and it's a place that everyone should be during the World Championship match. They don't have to contribute, but just to follow the people who like the important people on during the match.
Yeah, so of course they should follow you. For anyone who's new to Twitter, I know that it's still a fairly small percentage of chess fans, I would say, are on Twitter, even though the people that are on it a lot, I think we kind of feel like we know each other at this point. So if anyone's listening and barely knows what it is or doesn't know who to follow, but besides yourself, who do you think, who would you recommend following for commentary on the World Championship?
First of all, you should definitely follow Jonathan Tistel.
Yes.
GM Gay Tis, I think.
I'll find it, and yeah.
Yeah. There is Olympia Wirkan, is one.
Yeah, he's great, and he also has a Patreon page where he writes great historical little articles of, like, obscure chess games from Zukertat, and, you know, just like...
A lot of chess history, but he's also one of my favorites. And then, obviously, you have the big chess sites like Chess24, Chess.com, Chessbase, those kinds.
Yeah, and for listeners, even if you feel like you're not a social media person, like Tarjei says, if you're sitting there watching the games, as you should be during the World Championship, I would recommend like just making a burner account just to follow these five or six chess sets and keep track of the events, and then forget about it when the tournament's over if you would rather actually be like living life, which...
You get so much information, like inside information that you don't get anywhere else during the match. And it's really valuable if you are a chess fan and you like to know what's going on.
Excellent. Okay, well, Tarjei, say hi to London for me when you do make it out there. And thanks a lot for joining us here.
I will. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks to friend of the podcast, Geert Vandervelt, for supplying the intro music. Thanks to my producer, Matthew Passy, as always. And thanks to everyone who supports the show by telling a friend or writing a positive review on your podcast platform. But most of all, I want to give thanks to those of you who've given financial support to the show. Without you guys, Perpetual Chess would not be possible. I also want to give special thanks to my Patreon and PayPal Perpetual partners. This list continues to grow, which is a wonderful thing. It keeps the podcast healthy, keeps the episodes coming, and lets me dream up plans to improve the podcast over time. So special thanks go out to Adam Ralph, Adam Vrancouge, Adrian Gutierrez, Alex Pejas, Ali Morchetti, Andre Krizdwa, Brian Mullis, Carl Labons, I am Carlos Perdomo, Chad Hilton, Chad Oliver, Chris Flanagan, Chris Wainscott, Chris Chabris, Christopher Wood, I am Christoph Zielicki, Coach J's Chess Academy, Dan O'Hanlon, Daniel Ginsberg, Daniel Lucas, Daniel Naylor, Daniel Schaefer, Daniel Vinay, Dwayne Edmonds, Ethan Smith, I am Elect, Donnie Ariel, Frank Tortoris, Gary Andrews, Gary Lewis, I am Greg Shahadi, Harish Srinivasan, GM Yaka Bagard of Quality Chess Publishing, James Bonastia, Jason Woolham, Jennifer Valens, Jeffrey Martello, John Fernandez, John Hartman, John Jernigan, WGM Jen Shahadi, Jens Green, Jerry Wells, John Thompson, Johnny McMenamin, WGM Katerina Nemkova, Kelly Palmer, I am Kostya Kovutsky, Krishna Gopalakrishnan, Laura Belyavsky, Lek Ambrzkowski, I hope I did okay there, Lek, Leo Delgado, Lorraine Dore, Matthew Passy, Macaulay Peterson, Matthew Tedesco, Nate Salon, Nathan Webster, Pascal Charbonneau, Paul Sweeney, Paolo Santana, Peter Lux, Peter Merrifield, Randy Temple, Ricky Grijalva, Rob Lazorchek, Robert Steiner, Ryan Stone, Steiner Lima, Tatyav Abrahamian, Thomas Stonix, Thomas Tachenko, Tim Brennan, Tim Seymour, Timothy Ha, Todd Bryant, Tony Rotella, Tyron Price, Victor Vrankuj, Zhao Chang, and Zhivko Stoyanov. Thanks a lot, guys. Catch y'all next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.